You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, is going to lead us through 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where we see Paul continue to convince some church naysayers of his authenticity as an apostle. It's a fascinating chapter with important implications for today's churches as well. So get ready for our study, and as you do that, find your seat on the Bible bus too, because Greg and I have got some great letters to share with you.
Steve, just as before we get into the letters, I just want to say on behalf of all of us at Through the Bible, thank you for sharing your stories. Thank you. We just love to sit in here and read the testimonies, and we are encouraged, and I believe many, many millions of people are encouraged when you share your story. And of course, this month, May is letter month traditionally, and we've sort of added an extra little icing on the cake and added this I love to tell the story theme. Well, we've got some great stories. You want to share this first one?
Yeah, this first one is from Brenda in Modesto, and it's a great reminder why telling our story matters. She says, I have been on the Bible bus for many years, but 2022 has been more memorable than most. God has shown me that praying for others is very important in my life. Listening to the letters that you read has given me greater understanding into the blessings that I have in my own life. My life isn't about what God can do for me. He's already done it all. Now I can focus on what I can do for Him. I have grown to love Him more and to know more about His love and the sacrifice that God the Father gave to humanity. So I thank you for all that the Bible Bus does for all of the world and for teaching all of us in such an easy way to understand the Word of God. I am praying that 2023 will be even better.
Great, great to hear that story. Thank you, Brenda. Now let's hear from Amy in Dallas, Texas. I was raised by Baptist missionary parents in Cameroon and Nigeria, West Africa. I had heard of Dr. McGee, but had never listened to him. Every morning I woke up for work to music on a local radio station. Then one morning I, quote, mysteriously woke to Dr. J. Vernon McGee instead. I never changed the station, as I believe God was telling me something, and you have been part of my morning devotional practice ever since.
All right.
I am now enjoying my third trip on the Bible bus through the Living Word. I found this so beneficial that a few months after I started listening, I decided to partner with the ministry. I'm now retired and I get up a little later, so I listen on the app. As long as the Lord blesses me with an income, part of it will be coming your way, and TTB is also documented in my will. Well, thank you for that. Very generous. She goes on, I also support the revitalization and expansion of a hospital in rural Nigeria. I went to school with the director and informed him of the various language options available at Through the Bible. He said he would be happy to pass the website information on to the chaplains. It's a delight to help you fling out the spiritual seed.
Wow. Amy, thank you so much for partnering with us and for supporting financially. That's important, but also for telling your friends about the program.
Yes.
And in different parts of the world, that is wonderful. This next letter, this comes from someone without a name, or at least it wasn't given. Dear fellow prayer partners, this past year has been so very difficult. A sudden, unexpected loss of my son, my brother, and dearest friend. Being on this prayer team has helped to keep my eyes on the one who is sovereign over all things. Praying for others around the world and their needs helps me to draw nearer to the Lord and praise Him for all the amazing acts He performs in the lives of others to draw them near to Himself. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He is with us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Praise Him.
Wow. Well, friends, I don't think you have to wonder why we love to tell the story, because the best stories always point to Jesus. And again, we'd love to hear why you love to tell the story of Jesus and His love.
Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that You are a sovereign God in control of the good things and the tragic things that happen in our lives. We pray that You would give us the strength to endure those things, whatever they are. Pray that You would bless the program as it goes out now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's our study in 2 Corinthians 2 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, as we indicated before, we've come in this section. It's a very wonderful section where Paul is actually vindicating his ministry. the very wonderful thing is that this man now, as it were, he opens up his heart, and he'll be very personal in this chapter, as we've already indicated. And we see here in chapter 11 the vindication of Paul's apostleship. We saw in chapter 10 the authentication of it. And then we move on the revelation of Paul's apostleship in chapter 12, the execution of Paul's apostleship in chapter 13, the first 10 verses, and then the conclusion of Paul's apostleship, and that's in the last part of chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. Now, you will note that this great man, he's opened up, as it were, his heart to us. And I think I should move back and gather up some strings here. He says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, indeed bear with me." And you will notice that in this chapter, he's going to mention this several times. He says, verse 16, "I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." And then he speaks of boasting, that it's foolish. And then verse 19, "For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise." Well, of course, he's using sarcasm there on a very high plane. Now, Paul has made it very clear in this section that the enemy was busy in Corinth. That little minority had stirred up trouble against him, and they were trying to discredit his ministry. He explains to them why he didn't spend more time with them. He says, "I'm an evangelist." That is, I'm a missionary. Or that's really the word. And he says, "I don't want to build on another man's foundation." And Paulus has been there, and Peter's been there and ministered to you, and you've heard these men now. And I'm moving on out to the frontier. And that's the reason, because this is my ministry, this is my service. Now, he says, "I want to let you know that I have a ministry and that I am an apostle. I'm an accredited apostle." And then he goes on to say, "I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy." Why was this man willing actually to make himself a fool, as it were, for them? Well, he said, "Because I'd much rather speak of Christ than defend myself. But it's now necessary with this little group to defend myself. And so I'm speaking foolishly." Well, what does it mean to speak foolishly, and what is the word foolishness and the fool in the Greek? I think that stupidity, ignorance, or egotism, all of these are meanings of the word. It means actually mindlessness, no purpose in it. That is, it doesn't serve the great purpose of getting out the gospel, and yet Paul feels called upon to do it. And he said, "Suffer me to be foolish for just a few moments." And he defends his apostleship. Now, as we said last time, this is the method of Satan, as we shall see. The devil, at the very beginning, persecuted the church, and he found out he wasn't hurting it. In fact, the matter is, the church never grew as it did those first 100 years, and it swept across the Roman Empire. And by 315 A.D., why, it had gone into every nook and corner of the Roman Empire. And it was during the time of persecution. Well, the devil didn't hurt the church. Then what happened? He decided to join it. And that's when he began to hurt the church. But he began to make his attack upon the Word of God. And that didn't work. And then he did what he always does. He made his attack upon the men who believe and teach the Word of God. In other words, in this case, he hasn't been able to discredit the gospel, so now he attempts to discredit the Apostle Paul. And he goes on to say here that for this reason, that he'd rather preach Christ than do this, but he's doing it because he's jealous over them. He loves them. And he's afraid that the serpent that beguiled Eve, and don't think of the serpent as a crawling creature, it was the shining one. He's an angel of light, remember? He beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And again, I call your attention to the fact that the gospel is simple. We hear so much today about the intellectual approach. And honestly, I think you need to be aware of that. Every seminary today is trying to make young men intellectual preachers. I listened to a young man not long ago, and he's a young man that I'm partially responsible for him being in the ministry. It's the reason I listened to him, and he went to a seminary. He's come out now, and he preached a sermon. And I didn't know, frankly, for 30 minutes what he was talking about. And I'm confident he didn't either. He was way above himself. Today, the gospel needs to be given with sanctified common sense. That is the thing that's so desperately needed. Now, he says to them in verse 4, "And if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Now, some time ago, I gave a message in many places on the subject, Jesus Christ, not superstar, but the bright and morning star. And I fully expected a great deal of opposition to the message because actually some churches have gone for that type of thing. It denies, of course, the deity of Christ, and it presents a Jesus that never lived. In fact, it's just the Jesus of liberalism with a new wardrobe. And the wardrobe is a rather hippie type affair. And as a result, why, we have the Jesus of liberalism. And the Jesus of liberalism never existed. There's no record of him at all because they deny the virgin birth. And the only record we have says he was virgin born. And they do not believe he performed miracles. And as a result, why, they have a different Jesus, because the one in the Gospels perform miracles, and he died for the sins of the world. They deny that. They deny he was raised from the dead bodily. You see, the only record that we have is of the one who was God and man, or as the oldest creed has it, he's very God of very God, very man of very man. And this is another Jesus that's being presented today. Now, Paul says, if anyone comes to you preaching about another Jesus than we preach to you, that's in the Gospels, you're not to accept that one at all. He says here, verse 5 now, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." Now, I put Paul as number one of the apostles. He himself said he was the least of the apostles. He went to the end of the line, and I put him at the other end of the line. And he wants these Corinthians to know that he's just as much an apostle as any of the others. And he says, "But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge." Now, Paul, I think, actually adopted the language that the Corinthians would understand. And I'm of the opinion it was a rather rude approach. I have a letter from someone, got it some time ago, and he gives me quite a lecture for using the term that the psychologists have used today, and it's well understood and known what it means, and it's the term hang-up. Well, I've adopted it because I'm of the opinion that everyone knows what it means. Well, this man told me how the expression began, and he deals with the dirty side of it. Well, may I say to you, they said that about Paul, and he's using rude language. But Paul was one of the most brilliant men that I think that's ever walked this earth. I believe that he had the highest IQ of any man. Now he says, "But we have been truly made manifest among you in all things." And he says, you would know this. And verse 7, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God freely?" You see, Paul would not let the Corinthians give anything to him at all. and he did it, and as a result, he had to work. And this man had to work hard making tents. And because he had corns on his hands, it didn't mean that he was not an outstanding apostle. He says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now, in Macedonia, we are told, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. What a tremendous statement this man makes. He said, I won't let you give me anything. And as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Now Paul said, I'm boasting, but I'm doing it because it's the truth. I'm jealous of you and I'm fearful of you. Now he goes on, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. They are beginning to say, well, Apollos, you know, is such a polished speaker when he comes to us. He doesn't engage in tent making or any work like that. Well, Paul did. Verse 13, but such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, evidently, there were false apostles, there were deceitful workers, and they attempted to make themselves apostles of Christ, and they were not. Now, who were they? No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I don't have time to develop that as we have in other places, and I'll have occasion to talk about this again several times, and that is that the idea that Satan has cloven feet and horns and that type of thing is entirely erroneous. That comes from the great god Pan. It comes out of Greek mythology. And the great god Pan is half animal, you know. And they worshiped him as Dionysius. And that's not the scriptural viewpoint. Satan is an angel of light. And if you could see him, he made himself visible to you, you'd see the most beautiful angel you've ever seen. Now Paul draws from that this conclusion. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now this is something that makes your hair stand on end. And it's this, does Satan have ministers? And the answer is yes. That's what Paul said. And his ministers are very attractive. When I was just a boy in my teens, and I didn't know anything, hadn't been brought up in a Christian family, I went to hear a lecturer of a certain cult, and I won't mention that name of that cult. But this man read questions from the audience. I'm of the opinion no one asks this question, but he wanted to make the point. He says, somebody had said, I notice that there is a halo of light around your head. Can you explain that? Well, I took a good second look. I didn't see a halo of light around his head. But you see what he's doing. He's making himself a minister of light. All of Satan's ministers glorify themselves. And you can tell whether a man is preaching the simplicity of the Word of God or whether he's preaching some other Jesus and preaching some other gospel. Now again, listen to him. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly. This is mindlessness. Paul says, indulge me in this. And then he goes on. He has quite an apology here. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I'll glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. And believe me, that's holy sarcasm. Then he goes on, for ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage. That is, if he preaches the law to you. If a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. You take that. Now Paul says, you'll certainly indulge me this. Now listen to him. And now I come to a section, and I do want to say this, that when I come to this, it makes me realize I'll just have to make a confession. I've been in the ministry a long time, and when I read what this man went through, I recognize I've just been playing at it. I haven't really been a real servant of Christ. Listen to this man. Now, I want to just read this. That's all. It speaks for itself. Listen to him. I speak as concerning reproach. This is verse 21. As though we had been weak, howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Paul says I can back up my genealogy. No question about who he was. Now, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. Listen to him. He's more. I guess I can just say I'm a minister. But Paul can say I'm more. Listen to this. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. You see, they would not beat anyone to death, and in order to keep from doing it, they give them 13 stripes on one side, 13 stripes on the other side, 13 stripes in the back. And this was the method then. Thrice was I beaten with rods. That was the Roman method of doing it. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. How many of us today that are ministers, how many of us can say that we've been through this? Why, my friend, we have been in the lap of luxury, most of us have. We live in an affluent society, and we know nothing of these hardships for Jesus' sake. Now listen to him. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, many of us know what the burden of a church is. I have rejoiced in my retirement. The greatest part of my ministry has been since I retired. Oh, the burden that some of these pastors have today of a church. I know what it is. Now, listen to him. He says, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Paul says, here is my report. That's his report as a minister of Jesus Christ. Now he says in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. None of us know what this is. How embarrassing it must have been to be let down in a basket. I can speak for myself and not for others, and I think they would have to say the same thing. When I go to a city to hold a meeting, a Bible conference, they put me always in a nice place. And they're very hospitable to me, and I'm received with dignity. But Paul, imagine they let him down a window sitting in a basket. That's embarrassing, friends. But Paul did that for Jesus' sake. I don't want to hear anybody bragging today about how they are suffering for Christ. Read this over, and then it'll make you bow your head in shame and say, oh, Lord Jesus, help me to be true to you. Help me to be faithful to you. Well, we'll leave off at that particular juncture. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Like Paul, we receive many letters from fellow listeners all over the world who are persecuted for their faith. Join us in praying for these brothers and sisters and asking God to reach this whole world with his whole word at ttb.org/pray. Or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if you'd like to reach us by phone. Now, God bless you today as you walk with him in his word.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Our journey on the Bible bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Great is our God. The greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable.
The love that he shows.
The love that he shows is unconditional.
Because the power of the Lord. Great is the greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable.
The love that he shows,
is unconditional.
The power of the Lord,
is unbeatable.
Great is. Now put your hand together. God is great. Come on, clap your hand and help me. And he's greatly to. Say it, house.
God is great.
And he's greatly to.
And greatly to be
praised. Let's sing it again, children. The greatness of the Lord.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable.
Because the love that he shows.
The love that he shows is unconditional.
Power of the Lord.
The power of the Lord
is unbeatable. Great is. Put it right there. God is great.
God is great.
And he's greatly to.
And greatly to be praised.
That's all we're saying. And you can help us out. God is great.
God is great.
And he's greatly to.
And greatly to be praised.
Come on, clap your hands in the room. Help me say it.
God is great.
Yes, Lord. And he's greatly to.
And greatly to be praised.
Yeah, and he's greater than two.
And to be
now, watch it going in with us and sing it. Hey, hey, God is great.
God is great.
And he's greater than two.
And greatly to be praised.
Hey,
hey,
hey.
God is great.
He's greater than two.
And
greatly
to be praised.
And he's greatly to.
And greatly to be praised.
Yes, he is.
God is great.
Hallelujah. And he's greatly to.
And greatly to be praised.
Come on, take the roof off. Hey, hey, God is great.
God is great.
Greatly to.
And greatly to be praised.
God is great.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Hallelujah. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m., and that's on the telephone. And the telephone number is 732-434-2231. That's 732-434-2231. Our church services start at 11 o'clock on Sunday, every Sunday, 11 o'clock. And now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. What a great and glorious opportunity to come into your homes and nursing homes, prison cells, and automobiles, and wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are the church in the city with the city in his heart. We love you all. We thank God for each and every person that tuned into the broadcast to hear the truth of God's word. God's word is true regardless of whether people have tried to pervert the gospel or say things that are contrary to the word of God so that they can get the attentions of the people, telling them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. But I want to tell you today that the word of God is what you need to hear. We all need to hear the word of the eternal God, the one that came into this earth realm to redeem mankind back to the Father. And if you want to go back home, I pray today that you will listen to this broadcast and take heed to what the word of God is saying, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is soon to come back. And many people are telling us that, well, we still have time. We can wait. We can do a little more for ourselves before we turn our hearts toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you today that the time is short. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. And I tell you to put off the armor of darkness and put on that armor of light. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Praise God. We are looking today in the perfect law of liberty, the word of the eternal God. And we're going to look at John 3:16. Praise God. The most important thing here that this broadcast has been tailored to salvation for folks that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can give their hearts unto Jesus. Because what's happening is that the end time is so visible, and the things that are taking place today in the world, that we see that all the prophecies have been fulfilled with the exception of the rapture of the church. And many people today, they're just not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking for the Antichrist. They're looking for all these different things that people have spoken of. But when we begin to abide in the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us into the word, we will take heed of what the word of God is saying. Praise God. Praise God. In John 3:16, the word of God tells us that God so loved the world. You see, the whole thing today is that we need to take notice that God loves us all. He loves the sinner and the saint, because we all of God's creation, but we are not all God's children. And the whole idea is that if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can become a child of God. The scriptures tell us that for all that are in Christ, praise God, and have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So the scripture tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now listen to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land. I'm speaking to folks that love the Lord or say that they love the Lord, and even those that don't know it, because there has to be a balance in the word of God. You can't just talk to folks that say that they are saved and forget about those that are not saved. We have to speak to both parties because we don't know really who is saved. The only one that knows is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you take notice and do what the Word of God says, then you can feel within your spirit that you really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So God loved the world. He didn't just love the world. It says that God so loved the world, praise God, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I want to tell you today, I am a whosoever. And if you are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are a whosoever.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth in him. That's Jesus. Glory to God. That's the one that the Father sent to redeem mankind back to God. Hallelujah. There are folks that are sitting in churches all around the country, perhaps around the world, that really don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that sounds like it's a very judgmental statement, but I want to tell you today that you can see that the religion is so high in the different churches that it begs for a description. Religion. God never sent his Son to bring religion. If you read what John 3:16 tells us, it says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever not have religion, but that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh my God, I tell you, whosoever believeth in him. Do you believe in your church today and forgetting all about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that he is the head of, not mankind. But I tell you, God loves you. He loves you so much.
Yes.
Until he sent his Son to redeem you. If you believe and trust in him.
That's right.
Minister Gloria,
yes.
It's just amazing how today religion is at its high. Folks are believing in themselves and their own works and the things that they feel that they are able to do and have forgotten all about the one that the Father sent.
Yeah, we thank God for his love because in Romans 5 and 8, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, who died for us? Christ died for us.
Well, that's very strong statement to make there, although it's in the Word of God. But we as children of God must believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And folks today are trying to witness to people and they don't even know God. But I want to tell you, if your life is depicting the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection, then folks will see a difference in your life. They would realize that you belong to someone other than whom they belong to. But the idea today is that we want everyone to be saved.
Amen.
We know that everyone's not going to be saved. The scripture tells us this, and I don't say it with a great deal of joy concerning folks that are out there that are lost. The whole purpose of this broadcast is to reach people that are unregenerated, folks that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and even the backslider, the ones that are saying that they know the Lord, that are carrying Bibles. They come in on Sunday and they clap their hands and they do all of these religious calisthenics, but then on Monday through Saturday, they are living like the devil. But I want to tell you today that God knows everything.
Yes,
he knows all about our going and our coming. But I tell you, our lives must resemble our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
But we know the Holy Spirit must do the convicting. Amen. We can try and save people. We cannot save anybody. So they must receive the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. I remember in John 16, Pastor, and 8, when it says, "And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of the world is judged."
Well, praise the Lord. He has come. The Spirit of the living God is here in this earth realm. The Lord Jesus Christ is sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Godhead, is in this earth realm to carry out the work that the Lord Jesus Christ left for us all, praise God, to be born again. Now, many people today have really forgotten all about the purpose of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He's here to convict the sinner and the saint.
That's right.
None of us are excused because we need the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
As a child of God,
yes.
And those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ need him so that they can get saved.
Yes, amen.
You cannot get saved without the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You can sit in the church all you want and sing all the songs that you want. But I want to tell you today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not given your life unto Jesus, you're just sitting in a building carrying on the things of an organization. Jesus loves you.
Yes.
He didn't tell you to go into a building. He didn't tell you that. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Most of us today, we fail to tell the folks the truth.
True.
We want to keep the truth from them.
Yes.
If we, by and large, know what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling people things that tickle their ears. But I want to tell you, the truth is the reality.
Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son,
mm-hmm.
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Now in that 17th verse there, praise God. Mm-hmm. And I want you to understand that out there in radio land that have tuned into this broadcast, and like I said, I don't say this with a great deal of joy, but I want to tell you today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know him. All you need to do is to cry out to God and say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin.
Praise God.
I've not sinned against any other than you. And I ask you to come into my life, change my life." And God will do that.
Yes, he
providing
will.
Providing that it's a genuine repentance.
That's right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not God's will that any perish, but all come to the knowledge of repentance. Now, the 17th verse of St. John tells us a great deal of why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth realm, why the Father sent him so that he could redeem mankind back unto God. Listen to what the Word of God says. Minister Gloria,
says,
would you kindly read the 17th verse?
It says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
Praise God. Jesus came into this world not to condemn this world.
Amen.
The world was condemned already. It was full of sin. I say that again. It was full of sin. Jesus came to save us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing that we was on his mind when he was on the cross. Glory to God. And when he came in here and died for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You know, Mr. Gloria, I was reading there in 1 John 2 and verse 2. It was telling me about, and I tell you, this is the Word of God.
It
is. And the Word has to be the final authority.
Yes, it does.
That's what it is. It's mm-hmm. God's Word. It has to be the final authority.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot try and skirt the issue by telling people something different so that we could keep them in the congregation and they are there without salvation.
Amen.
The truth of it is that God loves you. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and let folks know, glory to God, whether you are in the Ark of the Covenant or you are outside in the rain. Let me tell you something today. Each person, if you are going to church, and I'm not trying to lambast any church or organization, I just want to speak the truth of God's Word, because what happened is that we, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, are to preach the gospel and leave the consequences to God.
Amen.
And leave the because God is the righteous judge. He knows everything. And the word tells us, let the wheat and tares grow together. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm not trying to separate the tares from the wheat. Let me tell you something. That's a job that the angels are going to do when they come back, glory to God, when they come and sever out what's good and what's not good.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. And Jesus said, matter of fact, before we go into that other verse of scripture there, Jesus said there I think it's in Matthew 3 in verse 12, somewhere around 11 or 12, where he said that when John was talking about, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He was talking to the children of Israel. But let me tell you something. He was saying that, but there's one that's coming after him whose shoes he's not worthy to lace, that he shall baptize. Now listen to what I'm saying. That he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He would take the wheat.
Yes.
Oh, those are children of God.
That's right.
And put in the garner, mm-hmm, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
But the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. My God, that, when you read that, you should say to yourself, my God, I want to be right with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. First of all, I need the baptism. Praise God.
Amen.
I need to be baptized with fire. Praise God. Sit in the church there and just hear a three-point sermon and walk out. No, that's not what it's about. It's to give glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God.
And we're not talking about baptism in water. We're talking about being baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Being baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the grace of God tells us where we should be baptized. Not in water. Although water baptism can't save you. But if you get baptized through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You'll be baptized into the Lord Jesus
Christ.
That's what it says in Romans 6 and verse 3.
Yes.
Know ye not that as many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not into water, mm-hmm, not into the whatever it is, but in Christ.
In Christ.
We've put on Christ. But Miss Gloria, I wanted you to read this because we are trying to tailor this, mm-hmm, this broadcast of salvation.
Yes.
To folks that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need to know him.
Yes.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
My God, if you don't know him, we need to know him.
Yes.
We can't sit up inside of a church there and hear a nice songs from a choir and go through this three or four steps of the offering and the acknowledgments and so forth. We must tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Savior. And he went back to the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit here, which brings forth conviction to all of our hearts, whether we say that we're saved or not.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner.
Yes.
And he also convicts the saint.
Amen.
He convicts the sinner because, mm-hmm, the sinner doesn't know the Lord Jesus,
mm-hmm,
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he convicts the saints.
Yes.
Because they've done something wrong and they need to get it out of their lives.
Hallelujah.
By confessing it before God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, these are trying times. And if you confess your sins, he said that he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now he's talking to the saints there.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because it started out with brethren. My goodness. But listen, Minister Gloria, the whole idea in Romans 6 and verse 23 there, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Read that.
Okay.
And we'll come back to that other verse.
Okay, Romans 6?
Yes.
And verse?
Yeah, 23.
23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, through whom? The Lord Jesus Christ.
So the whole idea, everyone that tuned into the broadcast out there, is that the wages, you know, you'll get a salary from the things that you're doing if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
That's spiritual death.
Yes.
But the gift, and this is who we're talking about, the gift of God is what?
Eternal life through our Lord and Jesus Christ.
The gift of God.
Mm-hmm. Is eternal life.
John 3:16 tells us about the gift.
Mm-hmm.
It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That's the gift.
Mm-hmm.
The gift of God is eternal life. You cannot earn it. You cannot earn it. None of us can earn salvation. We have no part. We cannot work enough to try and please the Father so that we could be saved. No, it's a gift. You cannot earn it. Receive it. Receive this gift. Jesus is the gift of God, and he's been given to humanity. And by and large, you have a choice. A lot of folks today say, listen, I'm not ready yet. And they always trying to use the thief on the cross as the last thing before one can go into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You don't know the time that your expiration on this earth. You just don't know that. And if you can think that you can use that illustration there in terms of, I have time and I'll wait till the last minute and then I'll receive Christ. Well, there are many people that are dying not having an opportunity to repent of their sin. Don't use that illustration thinking that you can wait until today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be sitting there in your easy chair watching television or perhaps doing what you want to do, appeasing your flesh and letting your flesh govern your life. But I want to tell you today that the flesh is not going anywhere. The flesh is going back into the dust of the earth. But I want to tell you that spirit that's on the inside of you, my God, is going back to glory to be judged.
Amen.
To be judged. You will be resurrected.
That's right.
The child of God, the word tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. But that other spirit that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ will go in to eternity without Jesus. And at some point in time, after the 1,000-year reign, will be resurrected and brought up before God Almighty to stand before him and tell their story. And I tell you, you cannot hoodwink God Almighty because he's omniscient. He knows all things.
Yes, he does.
You cannot fool him. And he'll let you say what you have to say, but the books will be open. Glory to God. And then the other books, plural. My God, everything that you've done, God knows about it. Your name's not written down there. I don't like to say the other part of it, but you will be cast into the lake of fire. That's why salvation is most important. Don't let these things of this earth put you in a position where you forget all about the one in whom the Father sent. And I know that he completed the work because God the Father would not have allowed him to sit down at the right hand had he not finished his work. What he gave him to do. Glory to God. Mr. Glory, it is so important that we all should know that we have eternal life.
Amen.
You know, in 1 John there, it tells us there, glory to God. It tells us that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5 and verse 12. Glory to God. I tell you, we must know that we have eternal life.
Yes.
If you're born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, don't let anyone steal your crown. Don't let anyone tell you or deceive you, tell you that it's all right, God understands the things that you're going through, but you have not received his Son. Don't let anyone fool you. Don't let anyone tell you that. Today is the day of salvation. Give your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm speaking to people out there right now that they go to church, but they don't know Jesus. What purpose it is to go to church and have not given your heart to Jesus? That's nothing but religion. See, and religion cannot save you. Jesus never called or came into this world to bring us religion. Mr. Glory, you want to read that 1 John
5?
before we close here.
First John 5 and 12. He that has the Son has life.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
He that has not the Son of God has not life.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
He that has the Son has mm-hmm. life.
That's right.
The Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Deity. Glory to God. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. My Lord, my Lord. I pray today for folks that are just sitting in church, enjoying the choir and all the other accolades that take place inside the church, but they don't know the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to pray today and ask the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit,
amen,
that you would give your heart to Jesus.
Praise God. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But in Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, for whosoever, that's whosoever, that's me, you, whatever, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
That's the most important thing, the purpose of this broadcast. It's not to make ourselves feel good or think that we are more holier than thou. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have confessed him in our heart, tell God that we needed a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And I tell you, when the time comes for you to exit this natural world, you will be in the presence of Almighty God. We thank you all out there in Radio Land today that have tuned into the broadcast. We know that if the words that you've heard, you don't have to be in a building to be saved. You can get on your knees right where you are and tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you are a sinner. You must acknowledge who you are and the position that you're in, so that the Lord, because he knows, and he will save you. Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
We thank you all for being very attentive into this broadcast. Please give your heart to Jesus. He will save your soul. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.